jazzy, and snappy programs on radio tonight. That is, on Indy 101.5. Join Johnny Athens, that's me, every Wednesday from 6 to 7.
How about the song?
We take a look at some of the top artists of jazz from yesterday and today, as well as comedians, interviews, and more, all here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Indy 101.5 presents the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. I am none other than the titular Johnny Athens, and we have some breaking news. 31-year-old Steffi Matto, former 90 Day Fiancé star, has unfortunately had to put an end to selling farts in a jar. That's right, the star, who's known to have made 38,000 euros worth of fart jars, has unfortunately had a horrible medical situation due none other than to drinking 3 protein shakes and a giant bowl of black beans in one day, feeling an immense pressure build up in her stomach and nearly forcing its way up. She thought she was having a stroke, but no, it was nothing more than really just an most intense gas buildup. Now, that is clearly the most interesting part of that story. But it is good to know that since this has happened, she has since decided to retire from selling farts in a jar. A relief to her family, though she has managed to find another unique way of making money from it. Her clients will no longer be able to purchase the physical jar, but they will be able to purchase them as digital artworks on the blockchain. Some have said that her career is reaching a second wind. Indeed, it must be a very crazy time when you squeeze out one too many and you think, was that my last one? They call it the death rattle. It's the last fart that overcomes us before we leave. Traumatic it may be, but it's just natural. That's part of life. Much like listening to jazz is part of life here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour, and we have plenty of that coming up for you this hour, as well as interviews, music, Louis Armstrong speaking French, or at least attempting to, and so much more, such as Frank Sinatra, coming up in a bit here on Indy 101.5. Thank you.
but it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl. You see, man made the cars to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load. Man made the electrolyte to take us out of the dark. Man made the boat for the water, like Noah made the ark. This is a man's, man's, man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing, without a woman or a girl. Man thinks about a little bit of baby girls and a baby boys. Man make them happy, 'cause man make them toys. And after man make everything, everything he can, you know that man makes money to buy from other men. Without a woman or a girl. He's lost in the wilderness. He's lost in bitterness.
I'm a fool to want you.
Indie 101.5. That was Mitski. 101.5 The Hawk. That was Mitski with I'm a Fool to Want You. Inspired by and portraying that eloquent sound of Frank Sinatra in probably the most horrifying, dark, timid, sensual, and spooky way anyone I think I've heard has done it. It's really a very unique sound that very much conveys a feeling, an emotion, does it not? Almost as though, rather than the self-pity perhaps that is in Frank Sinatra's version of the song, where it feels very much like he's beating himself up over what happened and how he's a fool, Mitski and her version almost seem like it's 10 steps further. It seems like perhaps this person thinks too much that they're a fool, that it's almost to a dangerous degree. Very powerful stuff. Of course, that was following James Brown with It's a Man's World, and before that it was Greg Emerald with Sweet Way. So all very emotionally driven songs, three in a row right there, and really each one after the other, you can stop, listen, and just think in silence for a little bit about what the artist is meaning, what the music is saying, and how it makes us feel. I think that's one of the greatest parts of music, is that it can convey emotion and ideas and so much all at once, and we only need to use our ears and a little bit of our brain. And speaking of an artist that is very talented, as well as Frank Sinatra, we have kind of a double hitter for you here. Oscar Peterson, in an interview with the CBC, talking about his experiences working in the States, moving from here to the States, as well as a certain special guest that helped him along the way. Oscar Peterson, I think, is a great, well, by far, we know he's a great jazz pianist, but I think he's also a great example of conveying emotion in his music. But I think that's just because he was so great about pretty much everything he did in music. He could make a tune swing, he could make it danceable, he could make it bebop, he could make it emotional, he could just play it, he could do really whatever he wanted at seemingly a whim. And that's just an incredible talent right there. So I'll let him speak for himself here on Indie 101.5.
In 1949, when you were sitting in Carnegie Hall, you went to hear a concert, and it sounds sort of like Ruby Keeler in the back row, you know, come and replace them. They told you to come up on the stage, and that was it. You wowed everybody.
Well, the true story there is, of course, that it was all set up.
I didn't know that.
Well, because I
bought this. I thought it was great.
Well, see? You see?
Can't believe everything you
know. No, it's true. But no, actually what happened was that I actually was not supposed to play when I went down there. Yeah. You're not allowed to play or work in the United States, as you know, without
right.
a visa. So when I came through, one of the immigration officers must have recognized me from some of the Canadian shows, and he said, you're not planning to play down there, are you? I said, no, not me. He said, what are you coming down for? I said, well, I'm going to hear a concert in New York. He said, oh, okay. And Norman said, just to make it valid, I sat in the audience in Carnegie Hall, and he said, just so there won't be any backlash, I'll call you up from the audience, which he did.
But you held out for a long time, because people were enticing you to go down to the States for a long time.
Yeah, but it wasn't the right time, really, Anna. It was wrong. I was really immature musically. I was immature personally, mentally, whatever way you want to look at it. I was a kid of 13 when Basie was talking about taking me to the States. And
a 13-year-old kid, their heads would be turned. You'd have to be pretty objective about yourself to say, I have to hone my craft and I'm going to do it.
Well, I didn't say it. My mother and father said
it.
I was trying to talk them into it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But they said, no, not a 13. We don't want you smoking pot till you're 21.
So it's true about musicians.
Beg pardon? No,
nothing.
I said, that's what they said.
I see.
That's what they said.
So, but after a while, you decided things were going terrific for you in Montreal, the rest of the country. Was Canada good to you?
Oh, Canada was, I think, was as good as Canada can be to Canadians.
And how good is that?
Fair. Fair. We're very tough on each other, you know. Yeah. We expect a lot more. We, for some reason, we wait for each other to stumble, okay? And I'm just obstinate enough that I'm not going to stumble till I'm ready to stumble. That's the way I look at it. Because I've watched too many other Canadian performers go out and really do their best and come home and figure, well, I'm going to do my best here also and get, you know, trampled. Mm. But, you know, at 270 pounds, I don't trample too easily, so.
I have heard and I have read, I want to know if it's true, that I know you have many fans. Is it true that Frank Sinatra in Las Vegas that's closed down his act sooner than he was supposed to and said, I have to go and hear Peterson, and took the whole audience with him to go and mm-hmm. listen to you?
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's fantastic.
Well, Frank has been a fan of mine, as I've been a fan of his for years.
Yeah.
And we were in Vegas appearing in different clubs at the same time, and I was doing my show went just a little later than his, not much.
Yeah.
And he called over and asked if I would play longer if he came over, so he decided to close it down a little early and come over, and he brought his group, and of course when he announced that this in his club, he emptied his club and ended up bringing everyone over to my club.
There, why are there always jazz nicknames? I understand. I wrote them down. Ellington called you the Maharaja of the keyboard, and Basie called you Osk the Gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand the second one, but how did the first?
How come you understand the second one?
So sorry, did I?
Well, you don't understand the first one.
The Maharaja of the keyboard.
Well, you know, Duca was always very elegant. Yeah. I don't know whether you knew this or not, but whatever he did with a flourish.
Yeah.
You know, he could never say anything straight up. It had to have that grandiose quality to it. So he couldn't say I went in one night to hear him in Montreal. He was using my piano, as a matter of fact. And he didn't know it at the time. And I went in to hear him because I had closed down early in Boston due to a bad piano there. And when he found out I was in the house, you know, instead of just saying, well, you know, we have one of the jazz players that you may or may not know in the honest, et cetera, et cetera. He said, we are honored with the presence of, you know, and he got very verbose about this, you know, literally. And he said, we were honored. And Duke always made himself very small in front of other pianists. And he had no reason to do that because Duke was a marvelous pianist in his own right.
of wine and roses, laugh and run away like a child at play through the meadowland toward a closing door, a door marked nevermore that wasn't there before. The lonely night discloses just a passing breeze filled with memories of the golden smile that introduced me to the days of wine and roses and you. The days of wine and roses. The lonely the night discloses just a passing breeze filled with memories of the golden smile that introduced me to the days of wine and roses and you.
This is 101.5 Indie, presenting the Johnny Athens Variety Hour. Did you enjoy that music? I did. It was Frank Sinatra and Oscar Peterson, both playing The Days of Wine and Roses. We talked about how both these artists could convey emotion, but also make a song movable. They had their own flair, and that's what they did, I think, with these two tunes. The emotion's there, and whether it's perhaps a little downtrodden and smooth, one can be a bit boppy and swinging. It goes to show the versatility of not only the artist, but the music they play or sing, respectfully. Up next, I take you over to the infamous corner of comedy that we have here on the Johnny Athens Variety Hour every week. And this week, we have a very special comedian, none other than Russell Peters. A staple to the stages of Canadian comedy. He's been known for years. He's established himself and worked his way around the circuits. He's a staple. He's a national, I think, icon for Canada. As usual, we take pride in the people that come up and get famous who are Canadian. And like Oscar Peterson said, we can be tough. We can be demanding. Canadians are a crowd that know what they want. And I guess, thanks to the example of Russell Peters' fame and fortune, I guess it's an audience that does well. You know, I guess it helps the artist or performer to really hone their craft and know what they need to do. And I think Russell Peters did just that, as exemplified in this clip from a Just for Laughs gala here on Indie 101.5.
I was like my regular kind of fat. You know what I mean? Like that kind of fat where you look at me and go, you know, Russell, if you would just run, like once. That's the problem with being Indian. We get fat. We're born skinny. That's the real problem. We're born skinny. We're naturally a skinny race of people. And we're born skinny and we stay skinny. We don't have to work hard to be skinny. We could be skinny and eat whatever we want and stay skinny. And then we never go to the gym because we're skinny. We don't need to. And our parents don't encourage you to go to the gym. You're like, Dad, I'm going to go to the gym. What's in the gym? They have studies in the gym? No, you're not going to the gym. You stay home and do your studies. And because you never tone up, you stay this like really smushy kind of skinny, you know? And you eat whatever you want your entire life. And then at 30, your Indian genes kick in and go, okay, party's over. And then you just get fat. And it's like a awful fat that we get. And that's what happened to me. I mean, I'm much older than that now, but I got like a weird kind of fat. I was like my normal fat. And then I woke up one morning, I was like, I was like, oof, I'm bloated. I figured I would pee it out. I would sweat it out. I'd be fine the next day. Anyway, cut to a year and a half later, and I'm still, and I go, something's wrong. So I go to the doctor. I go, doc, I got fat. He goes, yes. I said, thank you. I didn't come here for confirmation. I came here to find out why I got fat. He goes, well, why do you think you're fat? I said, because I have a mirror. And I walked past it naked the other day, and I thought somebody else was in my room. Turns out it was my stomach. It was. And people on the internet were calling me fat. You guys are dicks, by the way. You say whatever you want to us on the internet, and if we respond, so we just have to take the abuse. But sometimes I get mad when people say things to me on the internet, not because of what they said, more so because it's probably something I would have said. And then I'm mad that my own words are getting used against me. Like, I posted something for this TV show I was on, and somebody goes, holy shit, did you eat your whole cast? And I was like, damn it, I would have said that too. I probably would have said that too. And then somebody posted a picture with me, and somebody commented, went, Russell Peters looking thicker than a Snicker. I got mad at that because I love a good rhyme, thicker than a Snicker. That's a good one, too. It's not a fair way to describe a human. I think thicker than a Snicker is a great way for me to describe my penis. I think that's a wonderful way to describe it. So, Russell, tell me about your penis. Well, it's thicker than a Snicker. And it satisfies. So I said to my dog, I said, dog, it doesn't make sense that I should be getting as fat as I'm getting. He said, why not? I said, because I don't eat crazy, and I train jiu-jitsu every other day. He's like, huh. How old are you now? I said, 48. He goes, and you're Indian? I go, yeah, but... He goes, you haven't had a heart attack yet? I said, no, I haven't had a heart attack yet. He goes, all right. So he takes blood, and I leave. Calls me back in 3 days later. I go back in. He's like, hey, I got your blood back. I know what's wrong. I go, what's wrong? He goes, it's your thyroid. I go, what about it? He goes, you have an underactive thyroid. I go, so what does that mean? It means it's not doing enough. I said, I understand what the underactive means. He goes, then why did you ask? I said, how is it affecting me? He goes, the thyroid's making you fat. I go, the thyroid's making me fat. He goes, no, you're doing things too, but the thyroid's really helping. I go, so what do we got to do? He said, we got to speed your thyroid up. I was like, let's get that bitch moving, right? So it's been a year and a half now, and I lost 24 pounds from it. But it wasn't me. It was the medication. It's not me. And I've lost, like, my body's in much better shape than it's ever been. But my f***ing head is fat, and I don't know how to... I look like a f***ing thumb.
Fazendo ano e meio, amor, que o nosso lar desmoronou. Meu sabiá, meu violão e uma cruel desilusão foi tudo que ficou. Ficou pra machucar meu coração. Tá fazendo um ano e meio, amor, que o nosso lar desmoronou. Meu sabiá, cruel desilusão foi tudo que ficou pra machucar meu coração. Quem sabe não foi bem melhor assim. Melhor pra você e melhor pra mim. A vida é uma escola que a gente precisa aprender. A ciência de viver pra não sofrer.
Indie 101.5 presents the Johnny Athens Variety Hour right here, right now, this very minute, this very second. But actually, hold on, don't go any further, because we are just about wrapping up this hour. I do apologize to let you down like that. I know it is a bit early. Look at that time. Look at that time. Take a look. Okay, eyes back on the road. Don't drive and look at the radio at the same time. Radio is for the ears, like the music we play and the voice I speak to you by in this little box. Let me out of here. But we are finishing a little early because I have a song that's really beautiful, really wonderful. It's an epic of a song, and it needs some time. So we got to wrap up a bit early, but hey, that's good for the sake of music, right? Right. I forgot. Oh, yes. What we just heard was, of course, our comedy, Russell Peters, from the Just for Laughs Gala talking, doing a little bit there. And then after that was Stan Getz, João Gilberto, with a wonderful tune from, of course, their monumental album that they did together back in the 60s, Para Machucar Meu Coração. There we go. Did it. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Hold the applause. But a great tune, great album, of course, and a great hour we had. A lot of good music. Explored some topics, interviews, comedy. Everything was there. Fancy. Talk breaks. We talked about curious jobs. Learned so much every day. I learned so much doing the show. I hope you listen. I hope you listen. And I hope you learn when you listen. And with that, thank you for listening. And to those who didn't, well, it's the thought that counts, and we appreciate that too. So from all of us here at Indie 101.5, I bid you farewell. Good night. Thank you so much for listening. To close out our hour, here is Distant Land by Pat Martino on Indie 101.5.
Madame, you speak a little French, don't you? How about the song Velma Middleton and myself used to sing, That's My Desire? Can you sing it in French? I'll repeat after you.
Yes, okay. I can help you.
Go ahead.
Une nuit avec vous.
Une nuit avec vous.
Dans notre rendez-vous.
Dans notre rendez-vous.
Me souvenir de vous.
Me souvenir de vous.
C'est mon désir.
C'est mon désir. Come on, get the money.
Allez chez les gypsies.
Allez chez les gypsies.
Dans ce petit café.
Ah, dans ce petit café.
Danser jusqu'au matin.
Ah, c'est le cold.
C'est mon désir.
C'est mon désir. Ah, wait a minute. Now get rid of it. Where is that?
Et boire du champagne.
What is your champagne? Go on in.
Plonger dans vos beaux yeux.
Plonger dans vos yeux.
Sentir vos jolies lèvres.
C'est vos lèvres.
Écrabouiller.
Cabbage and my chops. I know that is cabbage and my chops. that's my desire.
That's fun. D'entendre murmurer.
Oh, c'est son. D'entendre les anges.
C'est l'heure, il faut partir.
Della, il faut partir.
Chérie, je t'aime tant.
Chérie, je t'aime tant.
C'est mon désir.
C'est mon désir. C'est mon.
That's.
C'est mon désir. Papa, da 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 da. Oh yes, 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 yes.
You're listening to CIOI, Indy 101.5, Hamilton's home for alternative.
Hello, dear listener. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite radio show. This is it. This is Hamiltopia, our first show on our newly rebranded radio identity. Hello, Indy 101.5. Farewell. The Hawk 101.5. We're happy to be here. You're going to be hearing both indie and alternative music. So stick around. We've got Arcade Fire and